Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tonight, big game for Atlanta United, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Hugh. Here is the second leg of the second round of CONCACAF. Monterrey is in after that embarrassing loss that the United took on the road down to Mexico, a chance for a little bit of redemption. And we welcome into the program Taylor Twellman, who, of course, is a big soccer analyst, big soccer star, and man who has a lot of opinions about what's taking place right now. Taylor, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm also a Hughes personal assistant, so you've got to put that in my bio.
There's no question about that. Taylor, I got to say, man, you made some comments the other night when you were doing the Atlanta United game that had me really thinking. Now, I was always of the mindset that with Frank DeBoer being here, that it's going to be a little bit of a growing pains for this team.
Yep.
You made some comments where you thought that maybe like this, he had to change his style a little bit. Can this be fixed with Atlanta United?
It can be, Hugh. Absolutely. But for the American sports fan listening, and even for the American soccer football fan, so to speak, you know, there's always been this notion that Dutch have created the beautiful game. And so there is a stubbornness. Listen, Tata Martino was one of the more stubborn coaches I've ever met. And you want to be stubborn, but there's also an understanding that you need to have your system fit the players, not the players fit into the system. It's kind of like the old saying, you know, square pegs and round holes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where Tata left and things taken over. I do think it's fixable because of the amount of talent that they have. But when you look at Atlanta United so far, they've won one of their games in 2019. That one game was when Michael Parker played as a center back. And I'm actually not, and I say that because that's where Michael Parker's played. But when you take over a team that won, Hugh, I don't care what sport it is, and John, this is for you as well. I don't care what sport it is. When you've taken over a team that has won, there is a fine line to making tweaks and fine line to blowing it up. And I just don't think the players are being put in the right formation, the right system to succeed. But on the other hand, in Frank's case, they've played four games in 11 days. So that's part of the quirkiness of MLS that he throws this into a wrinkle. But the reality is they've been boring, and that's the problem I have watching Atlanta.
Now, Taylor, when you look at this, and I know that everybody's pointing to the success that Frank DeBoer had at Ajax. And the last two jobs that he had, he wasn't there that long. Do you think it's a little bit of that? People are looking at him and they're looking at the way Atlanta United is playing right now, and they're kind of feeling that the reason why he got – they're kind of putting in the fact that he got fired from his last two jobs and feeling like that's why he's being stubborn in this one, because he got fired from the last two?
Hugh, it's a good question. It's a really good question. And everything can't be black and white on that. I mean, you guys know this, covering the NFL, covering NBA, and all the other sports. Like, when coaches, the turnover of coaches, each situation is unique. Each situation is different. So to compare Ajax to the job he took at Inter Milan, where Inter Milan was on, you know, penalty from FIFA and they couldn't go buy any players, well, you can't do that. And then to compare that to Crystal Palace, let alone, let's just take some logistics. You're trying to compare four teams in four different countries in four different leagues. So it's kind of hard to do that. However, I do think there is something in that. And when you come off of your last two jobs where you didn't even last more than 90 days, Hugh, I think that does raise the question, are you a little, for lack of a better word, insecure about the early times, so you're going to be stubborn and stay with this formation and stay with this, what you believe is the right way, or should you maybe look at this and change? Now, injuries have played a little part to this, but watching that game against FC Cincinnati, watching the first couple games in CONCACAF Champions League that were on the road, it's been disappointing to me, to say the least. And I know tonight they're going to play Monterrey at home, but leg one against Monterrey, gentlemen, you're only down 1-0 on the road in the 75th minute. I don't care who the coach is. As players, that's an experienced group of players. You need to get a result out of that. They should have, at the minimum, left Mexico only losing 1-0 instead of losing 3-0, and now their backs are against the wall.
Taylor Twellman is one of the great soccer analysts, of course, longtime player and star. Taylor, about Frank DeBoer, what about Miggy Almiron going over to Newcastle? You know, when you take that out of the lineup, there are a lot of people here in Atlanta who believe that while Joseph was the MVP, Miggy was actually the MVP of the team. You took away that speed, that kind of you know, what he had going with Joseph. How much of it is a factor of the fact that you've not only got a new coach, but you've got new players trying to connect on the front line?
Yeah, John, I mean, it's a good point. I will say this. Mickey Almiron's a special talent, but he's a special talent that even Tata Martino said was a one-trick pony. His pace on the counter, his pace within that system that Tata Martino played, worked. And I find it to be a little revisionist history that Atlanta United fans forgot that how many home games over the last couple of years where teams would come in, sit in, and defend, and Mickey would struggle, and Mickey would find that. So it's not that they're just missing Mickey. It's that the system suited Mickey as well. And I'm not trying to downplay Mickey, but what people don't understand is PT Martinez is the South American reigning player of the year. That has never happened in MLS history to get a player in his prime to come to the country at that moment. It's not PT Martinez is an excellent player, but he's different. He's a little bit more balanced. He's not as explosive on the counter. But everything I've watched from Atlanta United in 2019, Breck Shea on the left side is in PD's space. PD's stuck on the touchline. Like, this goes back to my initial answer. It just hasn't suited PD Martinez. I mean, David Beckham, Thierry Henry, Tim Cahill, Didier Drogba. Players come over from all over the world. Some struggle. Many of them struggle. New culture, new language. And then some take off, like a Joseph Martinez who came out of the rocket ship like guns blazing with 50-some-odd goals in 50 games. I think Petey's the right player. I just think Frank needs to find the way to put him in that right spot, if that makes any sense.
Makes a ton of sense. I'll tell you what. And Taylor, I have a question to ask you. And I know that this is a process. But how long do you think Atlanta United, with the brand trust that they have here, how long do you think they allow this to go on before they start? Maybe there be some rumblings.
Hugh, I don't know, buddy. That is, and for me, it's the best part about this whole thing, because that actually means soccer's arrived. I mean, you guys have covered the NFL. I mean, if you start 0-3 in the NFL, everyone wants your head on a platter as a head coach
exactly.
or general manager, right? Like, it's called pressure. It's called accountability. And the way the rest of the world is in our sport, Frank DeBoer's rear end is on the hot seat. Absolutely. But MLS is a little different, so you have to have some time to grow. I definitely think he gets, at the minimum, 6 months. And from what everything I've heard, he signed at least a 3-year deal, so now you raise the questions of what the buyout is and whatnot. I'd be shocked if Frank isn't given all of 2019.
Talking with Taylor Twellman, getting his thoughts ahead of Atlanta United and Monterey tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Taylor, why does MLS struggle so mightily, not just Atlanta United, but the whole league, when it comes to this CONCACAF Champions League?
John, it's a good question, and I actually did a piece that will run some point today on social media and whatnot. It comes down to two reasons why. We're going to use Monterey and Atlanta. I'm going to try to do this as quickly as possible. First and foremost, scheduling. When Monterey played Atlanta in leg one, Monterey had played 10 competitive games. Atlanta had not. So Atlanta won MLS Cup, then had to take a mandatory 5.5-6 weeks off due to the CBA for the players, and had to change their roster. More on that in a minute. But so it's basically, guys, starting a 100-yard dash and telling your competition you get a 15 to 20-yard head start, right? So 10 competitive games for Monterey versus Atlanta. If you take the transfer fees, and this is the more important point, out of the equation, Monterey's salary budget is 3 times what they're paying in Atlanta. And Major League Soccer runs on this parity, very similar to the NFL. But in this sport around the world, it's called an open market. There is no salary cap. There are no roster rules or regulations. CONCACAF Champions League, John, is an open market competition. And MLS teams, in a closed market, with roster rules and regulations, are trying to win it. It's very difficult. And you're always going to have the one-off. You're always going to have the Wichita, you know, the Final Four, make it to the final, those kind of stories you're going to have on us. We almost saw Toronto do it last year. But if you want to be a top 10 league in the world, you need to be the best league in your region. Right now, I'm struggling against that because league is operating at a completely different level. But, John, to finish my thought, they're at the precipice. They are there. And in 2019, the CBA agreement is going to it ends. The next CBA agreement is the most important thing in MLS's history because it's going to tell us the new ownership groups like Arthur Blank and LAFC and the Torontos of the world that want to move this league from take the training wheels off, and how does that move this single entity? If those restraints are loosened, then all of a sudden you're going to see MLS have real success in competing as champion. But they've got to find a way to deal with the schedule, because you can't go in. Could you imagine the Falcons opening up their season and they're playing against the Detroit Lions that have already played three games?
Exactly.
It doesn't add up.
Not at all.
Taylor, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. Thank you very much. We look forward to watching you and hearing you on the broadcast as well. Taylor Twoman.
You the man, Taylor. Thanks.
My man.